Welcome, everyone, to the Sports Illustrated Media Podcast. I am your host, Jimmy Traina. Thank you for tuning in. On this episode, we have two interviews. First up, John Oran from Sports Business Journal goes around the horn on a potpourri of media topics, including NFL pregame show ratings, the future of Tony Romo, the new college football pregame show on Fox, the Fox college football noon window, WWE going to Fox. What else did we touch upon? Baseball playoffs and the ratings possibilities there. And Monday Night Football. So we covered it all with John Oran. Just basically hit on all the latest news items and a little lay of the land there in sports media. And then after that, Matthew Berry from ESPN, the fantasy guru, the top fantasy journalist, if you can even use that word with fantasy, but I think you can. Nobody bigger in the fantasy world than Matthew Berry. So he joins us to talk about what it's like to cover fantasy for a living. And we also broke down the new Beverly Hills 90210, if that interests you. So you should definitely listen to that. So we're going to get John Oran here up first, then Matthew Berry. Before we go to John, quickly in the archives, Troy Aikman was on last week from Fox. He was phenomenal. Had a lot to say about NFL refs. Also gave us the lowdown on what happened when he blasted Doug Gottlieb on Twitter and got a call from his bosses. So Aikman was on the podcast last week. 2 weeks ago on the SI Media podcast, Ryan Russillo. 3 weeks ago, Rich Eisen and Chris Mad Dog Russo. So check all those out in the archives. If you're not a subscriber, please hit the subscribe button and rate and review the podcasts if you can. It helps tremendously. And let's get this one rolling right now. Little sports media news roundup with John Oran. All right, joining me now from Sports Business Journal, comes on regularly, and we have not really done a little sports media news potpourri in a while on this podcast, so we're going to try to cover some recent news. He's John Oran. John, thanks for coming on.
You're slumming it this week. You had Troy Aikman last week, and now you get the SBJ media reporter, Jimmy. You're falling a little bit.
If you have anything to say about the NFL refs, feel free to go nuts so I can...
Yeah, they suck.
Yeah. All right, we'll see now if we can get you the same attention Troy got for his comments. I'm not going to lie, though. I mean, you know, Troy does the Thursday night game, and the second play of the game is a penalty, and he says, oh, I did a podcast this week and talked about this. And then later, Joe Buck said to Troy, oh, and, you know, you did a podcast this week. And I texted Joe Buck at halftime and said, can you at least say SI podcast, SI media? I'll take SI. And he said, oh, I didn't realize, Joe wrote back, I didn't realize it was your podcast. Now I definitely won't mention it. So
you weren't story. Even asking for Traina. Right, I know. It had to be something.
Well, that, because, you know, you can't, you know, I can't text Joe Buck and say, can you say on Jimmy Traina's podcast? Because then you just really, you can't be that much of a pig. You got to sort of, you know, I'm trying to help SI here and help the brand. So
self-promotion is difficult these days. I know that.
But Troy was great last week. Let's start with the NFL. One of the things that has shocked me so far about the season is that the ratings for the pregame shows, I think pretty much across the board, if I'm not mistaken, you would know this a little better than me, but based on the PR emails that keep coming into my inbox, are up significantly. And I was of the belief that pregame shows are pretty much dead. Obviously, the numbers are not what they used to be, but the fact that they would be jumping so big is shocking to me. What's your take on that?
I'm a little less surprised by it. You know, when the game ratings are up, you know, the rising tide lifts all boats. The pregame ratings go up generally, and I think in this NFL season, there have been some storylines, you know, like the Antonio Brown storyline, that people just are thirsty for news for. And I think that, you know, if there are really good storylines going into these games, then people will sit through the pregame shows because they want to get, you know, information on it. They want to get takes on it, and they just kind of want to see what's happening. If there aren't those types of storylines, then, you know, it just kind of rises and falls with the games. But the pregame show ratings have been rising more than the games, which are up the season as well.
I know some people have said maybe a reason for the game ratings and the pregame ratings being up might have to do with the legalized sports betting. But that's still only in, I don't know, what is it, 11 or 12 states currently? Do you think that's a factor at all, or that's a stretch?
Yeah, well, every time I talk about ratings, there are probably 20 reasons that you can pick and that are suitable for describing why they're up or not. And I think if you take a look, I know Fox, which has Fox Bet out there, they are looking in places where gambling is legalized in Pennsylvania, New Jersey, and they're seeing huge ratings increases in those areas. So I think there could be something to it. It's not legalized enough for it to have a significant impact, but a point here or a point there, I think that is what you're seeing there. I do not dismiss gambling as being a reason for the ratings uptick.
So that's very interesting. So there are 11 states that have legalized sports betting, and Fox is tracking the ratings for those states, and they're all seeing increase. Most of them or all of them are seeing increases. Is that?
Yeah, not just increases. I mean, if you Pittsburgh, the Steelers are 0-3, right?
Right.
I think the ratings in Pittsburgh are beating the rest of the country. And Philly, you're seeing the same thing through the first three games.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's not enough of a set to make any kind of definitive argument, but it is something that people are taking a look at and are insanely interested in.
Speaking of Fox, let's shift to college football. They have their new pregame show. But before we even get to ratings talk, have you watched it? What are your thoughts on it? Recommend it?
I have not actually seen it yet. I have not sat down with it. But I have people that I know that have watched it think that it's very professionally done. They think Urban Meyer is turning into somewhat of a star on it. And again, these are people not necessarily in the industry, but friends that are watching. College Game Day is still by far the default choice for people that are sort of getting ready for their Saturdays. What do you think about it, Jimmy?
I haven't. You know, I always forget. I mean, this is really bad to say. I always just forget about it because I'm not locked into the Saturday morning pregame show. I mean, I think the ESPN one starts at like 4 a.m. or something like that. But, you know, it's usually a little before kickoff when I put it on, and that's when I want to see Corso put the hat on his head and make his pick and, you know, get the people all riled up. So,
but that's iconic. There's nothing Fox can do that can match Corso putting on the mascot head, I think. Every college football fan knows about that.
Right.
And if you have to decide between one or the other, you're going to watch that and then dump over to Fox if you want to see that game.
And I'll be 100% honest here. And I mean, I don't know if I should say this or not, but I'll be totally, I don't like Urban Meyer. So like, I have no interest in watching him on a Saturday morning. I think he's a bad guy and I didn't like him as a coach. And I think he did shady stuff and I don't have any interest in watching him. So, give me Lee Corso putting on the head and pissing everyone off.
I do think that, the ESPN version, you know, you just have the signs, you have the energy of the crowd. It's just a completely different show. And I think the last time I was on, or one of the last times, you were talking about that that draft of all-time best studio sports shows.
Right.
And if I was drafting, College Game Day would be in my top three, just because it's such a
absolutely
new, unique, different. Nobody can imitate what they've done.
Yeah.
And I think that the way that they come into the College Football Saturday is you know, it'll be a long time, I think, before Fox beats them in any significant way.
Now it would be ridiculous and not fair to even, you know, do a ratings versus ratings thing with Fox and ESPN on that. But do we know if Fox is at least happy or content with the numbers they're getting for that pregame show?
Yeah, and so Fox's spin on that is that they're less concerned about the numbers for the pregame show as they are the numbers for the pregame show and the noon game, because mm-hmm. they think one leads into the other,
right.
Or at least that's how they're pitching it. And the noon game through three games, it's won the noon time slot 2 out of 3 times, and so I think they're happy enough with it. And despite what I just said, you know, they're going to have Ohio State, Michigan in that noon window. And I bet you, I wouldn't be surprised if Fox's pregame show outraids ESPN on that day. That's something to keep a look at. But as far as like a season long competition, it'll be a while.
Yeah. I mean, you put Michigan and Wisconsin like they did this past week on at noon, and it's going to win that time slot. So, if they weren't, they'd be in big trouble. So I'm not
surprised. The funny thing about that strategy to me, Jimmy, is that the Big Ten mandates that a lot of its games are at noon. So right. Fox's big strategy, it's kind of the strategy that they employed last year too. I mean, Ohio State, Michigan, that's a noon game. That's almost never, at least in, recent years, it hasn't been on prime time at all.
Right.
So it's, they kind of saw what they had with their schedule and decided to really sort of market it. And they did add a few new games to it. But the noon strategy, the strategy that I saw them use last year pretty effectively as well.
Back to the NFL, had a little news today from Andrew Marchand, who's a regular on this podcast. I guess this is just so weird. So Tony Romo's playing in a golf tournament this weekend, and if he makes the cut, he will not be doing a game on Sunday with Jim Nantz. I believe CBS, in more weirdness, this main CBS game at 4:25 is actually an NFC game. I think it's Bears-Vikings. So instead of Nantz and Romo calling Bears-Vikings for CBS, CBS will use Boomer Esiason, get him off the pregame show, put him in the booth with Nantz. CBS doing these NFC games is still like, as someone who's old and remembers how they were always separate, it's so weird to me.
It is hard to get used to.
Yeah. So what do you think Tony is? What is CBS rooting for here? Because I would imagine they want Tony doing the game and not making the cut in this tournament.
Yeah, they pay Tony to broadcast the games, and I would bet a good amount of money that's not going to be an issue. If he makes a cut, it would be a massive upset. So a lot of this, you have to have contingency plans, I guess. But a lot of this is kind of almost like you're in the middle of this of the silly season. The idea that he's going to make the cut and not be in the booth is
right.
That would be a really big sports story, even more so than sports media, because I don't see him. And people that follow golf more than I do don't see him making the cut.
Okay. And anything, are talks between him and CBS just not taking place at all right now? Because Tony's contract is up at the end of this season with CBS, and the reports say Tony wants to get paid a lot, and I guess there'll be some competition out there if CBS doesn't re-sign him. What is going on there, if anything?
I would think that there would be a lot of people lined up for it. I think that ESPN with their Monday night booth would love to have them.
Right.
I would think that Fox would be looking to get them. I'd be surprised if CBS lets us get to the point to where he's actually negotiating with other people. I think that he's Sean McManus, and people forget about this, but when Sean McManus first hired Tony Romo, and he came in brand new as a neophyte, and we all watched those first games waiting to see him fail like Jason Witten, and he didn't. It was a relatively big risk to take somebody that's never broadcast a football game and put him in their top their top game, the A-list game, and he performed so well. And so I just think that he's somebody that I think CBS executives feel like they brought on, that they feel like they took a risk and hired, and I just can't see them I can't see them building somebody up like Tony Romo and then letting him go. That's not in CBS's ethos. I've been surprised before, but that would really surprise me.
I'm not a savvy business person by any stretch of the imagination, but wouldn't you think that Romo's agent would say, listen, don't do anything, sit tight, because ESPN's going to try to come after you hard after this season, and they will offer a ridiculous amount of money, and then it's in CBS's court, the ball's in CBS's court to match or go above it, because all Tony needs is one other network to want his services. And I'm not sure if I'm with you on the, you said Fox would be interested. They have Aikman. I don't know if they'd go three-man booth when they have such a successful lead booth now. And ABC has Michaels and Collins. I don't know if the options, when you consider what the salary would be, I don't know what the option, because think about, I guess Fox has the Thursday night game, so that's how you could do it. So Fox would be a big player because they could, instead of having Troy do the two games, they could have Tony do Thursday or Sunday.
So but here's the other question, which is something that gets asked about all the time. You and I both are fans of Tony Romo and how he broadcasts a game, right?
Right.
How much do you think his presence affects the TV ratings in the game?
Not significantly.
And so all of a sudden, if this price gets too high for some reason, like ultimately, CBS just bought by Viacom. They have to make a dollars and cents business decision to where it's like, well, if you know, somebody's going to pay you stupid money, then go ahead and we can fill in with, you know, a Boomer Esiason or Dan Fouts or who knows who they can, you know, fill in with for their A team, and they won't see a ratings any kind of significant ratings blip, if any, based on the announcers. So
right.
There is a little bit of risk there. For if Tony Romo were to sort of say, like, oh, I want to see what I'm going to get on the open market, although I think that he would get, you know, John Madden type money.
Right. Well, like I said, I think what will help Tony is, you know, ESPN will likely be trying to do something with their Monday night booth, and then Tony's out there, and you know, ESPN has the money to throw at people. If you look at what they pay for, you know, the NBA contract and what they pay for Monday Night Football, what's, you know, $10 million a year for Tony Romo?
Yeah, and it's also going to be interesting to see how the Monday Night Football booth develops. I mean, is this something that they want to? Is this going to be like their ESPN's NBA pregame show where they tinker with it every single year, or are they going to finally say, like, you know, part of me believes that Jimmy Pitaro and Burke Magnus, Connor Shell, that they feel like they have a good group in Joe Tessitore and Booger McFarlane. And they just kind of want to see them develop together, and they could make the same sort of dollars and cents decision of saying, like, oh, well, do we really need to get a bigger name on here, or do we just want these two to sort of to grow together?
And the other issue, which ESPN never wants, they'll never want to admit it, and I don't blame them. But the fact of the matter is this: the Monday Night Football schedule stinks. It just does. I mean, the games are not. Listen. Thursday night is better. Sunday night is better. Sunday 4:25 is better. They're getting the scraps. The schedule's not great. And then because they're locked into the one game with no flex, unlike NBC on Sunday night, when these quarterbacks go down and they're stuck with, you know, Steelers games with Mason Rudolph and, you know, they got a Dolphins game on there one night. The schedule for Monday Night Football, it's like, okay, you could pay Tony Romo $10 million and put him in the booth and get people excited, but the games always stink.
Thank you for not bringing up the Redskins, Jimmy. I appreciate that.
Oh, they did their job last night in playing an unwatchable game.
28-0 at halftime.
Yeah.
So that's the point. But
right.
You know, when ESPN, even though they are paying more than everybody else, but they're paying for the Monday Night Football schedule. Is what the NFL describes as the cable schedule, and the cable schedule is never going to be as good as. The best game is going to go on to Sunday Night Football. That's the prime time game that the NFL wants to populate. Thursday Night Football. Now it's on broadcast. But the games that are exclusively on NFL Network, those are worse than Monday Night Football. But the ones that are on Fox are generally better. So the ESPN schedule. As it is right now, before they go and renegotiate these deals in a couple of years, is the cable schedule, and it's not going to get any better next year or the following year.
Just look at this week. Fox on Thursday night has Eagles-Packers. NBC on Sunday night has Cowboys-Saints. And then on Monday night, you're stuck with the Bengals against Mason Rudolph and the Steelers. So you could put Tony Romo in the booth. It's not going to make a heck of a lot of difference.
Although... if you talked to ESPN before the season, they would have looked at that as a big rivalry game, a division game. You had Big Ben and Pittsburgh rates pretty well. That actually, you know, the Bengals Steelers for a Monday Night Football game is not that's one of the better Monday Night Football games.
Here's what I would tell ESPN: it's the Cincinnati Bengals. Okay. That's the Cincinnati Bengals.
I have no comeback for that, Jimmy.
Speaking of ESPN, have you had a chance to check out, I don't know if you're an ESPN Plus subscriber, the Return of Primetime with Chris Berman and Tom Jackson?
It's like a comfortable old glove, isn't it? It was great. I thought it was great to see them do that again. Did you watch?
I don't have ESPN Plus. And when I first heard the news, I was not happy because I thought it was just like a, you know, obviously a ploy to get people to subscribe. And, you know, there is the factor where they can't do it on TV because NBC has this exclusive contract. I mean, I would have loved it if they put them on, you know, ESPN at 11:30 at night after the Sunday night game, but I guess that's difficult. So I was probably way too harsh on them on whatever I said on Twitter, but I guess, you know, you got to do it. You could put it on ESPN. Again, for me, 7:30 Sunday night, it's not a time where I'm watching a highlight show. I'm either watching the end of the 4 o'clock games, or then you have a half hour to get dinner and get yourself ready for a work week before the next game starts. So
yeah, it's amazing. My viewing schedule has completely changed. It used to be back in the day that you would go over to ESPN and then you would see all of the highlights. And now they're breaking into games and they're not just showing you the touchdowns; they're showing you the plays that lead up to the touchdowns. And you know, you're going through Twitter and you're getting a lot of the highlights there. And it's, you know, there's less of a need to go and watch it.
Right.
But just seeing like Tom Jackson and Boomer together doing it again, it's completely retro, and it feels good watching it.
I love both of those guys. I'm sure the show is great. If I had ESPN, I'd probably, you know, pop it on while I'm making dinner or something before that next game starts. You know, I love that they're back. I just, you know, it's a tough, you know, ESPN plus 7:30 on a Sunday. It's just tough. But, you know, and everything I've read, everyone says it, like you said, old glove. So I'm happy for them because I know Boomer wanted to get back into it. Two more before I wrap it up. Maybe I'm wrong. And I'm here in New York where, you know, we have the Yankees, but I feel like there is absolutely no juice going into the Major League Baseball postseason. It's every year it just seems like baseball flies more and more under the radar. I don't know what the regular season ratings have been for Fox and ESPN. I think ESPN just had their lowest Sunday night game ever or something, maybe. Did I read that? But baseball playoffs are coming, and I don't know, does not feel like there's a ton of interest. Am I wrong?
Yeah, you know, here in D.C., the Nationals are playing for a playoff spot. Last night, Bryce Harper returned from Philly for a game, and the Redskins are 0-2 and were staring at 0-3, and Nats Park was half filled, and the atmosphere there was not great. Moffitt Nathanson, a financial analyst company, just put out a report. They described, you know, the NFL and the NBA are two national brands, but they described Major League Baseball and the National Hockey League as more local sports or more regional sports. And I think that when you talk about the going into the playoffs, the lack of these national storylines, nothing's resonating nationally, and I do think that hurts. I mean, I think one of the best storylines is with your guys. You know, the way the Yankees have won with all the injuries that they've had, and even that is you talk about that with general sports fans outside of New York, and people aren't really, they don't seem to be picking up. That's anecdotal more than analytical, but it's that definitely is how it feels.
Fox will be rooting so hard for the Yankees this postseason. It's not even going to be funny.
Can you imagine? Yeah.
If they go out in that wild card in the first round, or they're going to have problems. Speaking of Fox, last one here. I have said this many times in this podcast. I probably have said it to you, that Fox was going to go all out and then some in promoting WWE SmackDown, which debuts October 4th. I actually have been surprised by... They've actually promoted it even more than I anticipated. They had a nationally televised baseball game last week. They had one of the guys in the booth for an inning, Braun Strowman. They showed Rey Mysterio at the Vikings-Raiders game on Sunday. They're adding a studio show, I believe, on FS1. Are you Is this what the kind of promotion you expected, or has it even been more than you expected? And how important is the WWE deal for Fox?
I think it's more than I expected. I was expecting a lot. I think what's unique about what Fox is doing with the WWE is that they've had the WWE has had such a long relationship with USA, and that is, you know, that's NBC's entertainment arm. It wasn't a part of NBC Sports Group, and so this is sort of Fox Sports. This is the first time the WWE has really been supported by a sports division, and I think you're seeing that in terms of, you know, getting some of the wrestlers in the booth, getting them in crowd shots in the stadiums. I mean, you would think that USA would be able to do that pretty easily with NBC Sports, but when you have these big networks and these big companies, you know, they operate in silos. So a lot of times, sports doesn't know NBC Sports doesn't know what USA is doing, or vice versa. And NBC is actually the probably the best network at doing that. So just having this with Fox Sports enables Fox Sports to promote it in a much more organic way than has happened before.
I can't wait, because I'm looking forward to that October 3rd Sunday night, Thursday night football game, to see what Joe and Troy have to do to promote SmackDown the next night. I have a feeling there's going to be something wild going on.
Get Troy to suplex Joe or something like that.
Well, Troy told me last week he's not a big watcher of wrestling, and that the last time he watched, I think his favorite wrestler was the Macho Man. So it'll be fun if Troy has to do any promos or something with Joe. Joe's into it. I had Joe on the podcast, I don't know, maybe 6, 7, 8 weeks ago, and he's into it. So
I'm trying to think of a young Troy Aikman cheering on the Macho Man. That's making me laugh.
Yeah. All right, John, I appreciate you coming on and sort of going around the horn with me on this stuff, and we'll have you back soon, I am sure.
Thanks. Hey, anytime, Jimmy. Thanks for the ask.
Okay, my pleasure. Take care.
See you, man.
Okay, bye-bye. All right, this episode of the SI Media Podcast is sponsored by Zoom. When you use Zoom, every day is a little bit better. Zoom Video Communications, with the web's best-reviewed video conference service, used by millions to meet one-on-one or hundreds at a time. Zoom Video Conferencing lets you connect face-to-face with anyone across town or around the world with flawless video, clear audio, and instant sharing of files, video, anything. And you can connect through any device, desktop, laptop, tablet, smartphone, or conference room system. Zoom Video Conferencing, Zoom Rooms, Zoom Video Webinars, and Zoom Phone put state-of-the-art tech right at your fingertips. And it also lets you do business at the speed of Zoom. Look, if you're not using Zoom Video Communications right now, the only question I have is why not? I'll make it super easy for you. Visit Zoom online and set up a free account today. No cost. Free. Try the most affordable and most reliable video communication solution on the market. Meet happy with Zoom. And this episode of the SI Media Podcast is also sponsored by Legacy Box. Legacy Box is a great company that helps you digitize your home movies and photos so you can preserve them for on and on and on. You don't have to worry about going through old files, clutter in your basement, clutter in your attics. Legacy Box allows you to experience the joy and nostalgia of reliving the glory days. It ensures that your family history is preserved forever, and you can get together with the family and take those trips down memory lane. Then you become the hero of the family, of course, which is always a nice bonus. And it also helps you get organized. Like I said, you can clean out your closet, your attic, your basement, all those old camcorder tapes and aging film reels and photos laying around, and you send it out to Legacy Box, and they take care of everything. Legacy Box is the world's largest, most trusted digitizer of home movies and photos. Over 450,000 families have trusted Legacy Box. They have over a decade of experience, and all the work is done by hand right here in the USA. There's never been a better time to digitally preserve your memories. Visit LegacyBox.com today to get started. Plus, for a limited time, Legacy Box is offering my listeners an exclusive discount. Go to LegacyBox.com/save to get 40% off your first order. It's not 10% or something chintzy like that. 40% off your first order. Go to LegacyBox.com/save and save 40% today. Get started preserving your past. All right, joining me now, the king of fantasy sports, Matthew Berry from ESPN. Matthew, how are you?
I'm good, Jimmy. How are you?
I'm well, thank you. And football is here now. We're 3 weeks in. I assume you're right in the middle of your busy season here as the fantasy guru. How many? I was trying to figure it out from press releases and your Twitter feed. How many shows are you on right now with fantasy in terms of TV, podcasts, ESPN Plus? What is the like weekly Matthew Berry schedule?
That's a good question. I don't know if I know that. I don't even know if I know the answer. So I do the fantasy focused podcast. So, and that's sort of, it's sort of morphed into kind of a TV show, that we do digitally. And so, I do that. And we do that at 10 a.m. Eastern, Monday through Friday on, you can watch it live on Twitter, on ESPN Fantasy's Facebook page, on ESPN's YouTube channel, and on the ESPN app. So you can watch it live, and they dice it up for clips that you can watch throughout the ESPN Fantasy app, and then obviously it's distributed as a podcast as well. But so, you know, I'm on camera for that. We do the fantasy show on ESPN Plus. We do 4 episodes of that a week. And then Fantasy Football Now, Sunday mornings, 10 a.m. to 1 a.m. to 1 p.m., you know, till kickoff, basically, on ESPN 2. So we do 3 hours there Sunday morning. And then throughout the week, I do appearances. You know, I do a Sports Center on Monday and Sunday mornings. I do NFL Live on Thursdays. I do Monday Night Countdown on Monday night. So they certainly keep me busy here. And then obviously I write a weekly column and do rankings for players as well on ESPN.com.
You know, you're a busy person when you're asked what's your weekly schedule, and the answer is I don't know.
I mean, I literally it's like I wake up and I'm like, okay, it's Tuesday. What does Tuesday mean? Like, I just sort of try to block and tackle and go day to day.
Right. Now, you've been doing the fantasy thing for a very, very, very long time. You're one of the first to do it on the internet. Did you ever think, I mean, maybe you did, maybe you didn't, I don't know. Did you ever think it would become what it has become?
No. So, I mean, I've been playing since I was 14 years old, right?
Right.
So for a long, long time, you know, 30 some odd years. And look, I knew that, Jimmy, I knew that it would become popular, right? Like when I was in 1995, when I decided to try to, in 1999, when I first started writing about it professionally on RotoWorld, and then in 2005, when I decided to try to make a full-time living at it, I felt like, look, like I'm not a weird guy, right? Like the stuff that I like I like Springsteen. I like, you know, I like pizza. I like superhero movies. You know, I like Howard Stern. I know you and I have that in common. So like the things that I like are pretty mainstream, and I also obviously really like fantasy sports. And so I knew that if it could just get some more attention, that it would grow and be viable, that you know, we are a country that likes to do fun things. And at its core, fantasy football or any fantasy sport, it's fun. Like, it's a fun activity. So I knew that if it would just get some more popularity or just some more exposure, if you were, and you could change the perception of it, that it's something only for sort of nerdy guys, you know, and, you know, all the jokes about mom's basement and that sort of thing. Like, if you could get past that stereotype and just have people understand that it's a fairly simple game to play and it's fun, that it would grow. Having said that, did I ever expect that I would work for the largest sports media company in the world and once a year they would do 29 straight hours of programming around fantasy football? No, I never in my wildest dreams imagined that. My, if I was dreaming of anything, it was just like, ooh, maybe I can make a living at this. Like that was my big, in 2005, when I decided to make a full-time living at it, I was like, that was my goal. It was like, could I make enough money to support myself just doing fantasy football?
Was there a turning point for you though, do you remember a turning point where you said, this is becoming a monster industry. This is something where I can not only, you know, make a living, but make a very nice living? Or was it just a gradual buildup?
It's a gradual buildup. I mean, there's some moments that sort of stick out to me. I mean, obviously, like just, you know, in late 2007, when ESPN bought my website and said, you know, we want to bring you out here, that, you know, they came to me in 2007 and said, hey, we think fantasy's getting big now, and we think there's enough here to do that. Like, we've talked internally. This is what they told me. They said, we've talked internally, and we were like, we want to find a Mel Kiper. We need to find, like, a Mel Kiper of fantasy football. And, you know, we like you, and we like the website, so we'd like to, you know, buy your website, move you to Connecticut, and make you the guy. And so, you know, that fall of 2007 was when I started with ESPN, and so that was great. And then, so, you know, obviously that was a moment. There was two other moments sort of early on that stood out to me to answer your question. One is in 2008, I think it was 2008, we did a fantasy football party. ESPN did, I think, at Brother Jimmy's, which is a sports bar in New York. And so we're pulling up to this, it's like a preseason, you know, thing, and we're going to do like some mock drafts and stuff like that. So we're pulling up to Brother Jimmy's, and I see like a line out the door around the block all the way up whatever street the it's on. I know there's a number of locations. And I'm like, oh my God, like is Springsteen in town? Like, what's going on? And they were all in line for this fantasy football party. I was like, holy crap. Like, here are people like waiting in line in the hot New York summer in August, you know, to get into a bar to hear people talk about fake football. So that was kind of like an eye-opening moment for me, where there was this like this crazy long line to get into that party. And then the other one is a story that I've told before, that I got a call, I think about 8 years ago, right? So I guess 2011. I get a call from a guy that had gotten my number from a mutual friend. He says, "Hey, Matthew, you know, my name's Mike, and we're all big fans of you, and we're having this draft in New York, and we'd love for you to come by and hang out, you know, with our league and just sort of comment on picks, and you know, we just think it'd be fun to have you." And I'm like, "Yeah, listen, man, I appreciate it. I'm flattered, but August is like my busiest month, and I just don't do that. I just don't go and like hang out at random people's drafts, you know." And he's just like, "Well, it's for Jay-Z's league." And I'm like, "What time do you need me?" Right? I mean, you know, like, you know, that's sort of what you do when you get that call. And so that was something where it was just like, who knew Jay-Z played fantasy football? And, you know, and that was sort of like a, you know, obviously an amazing experience, but beyond that, just a very eye-opening kind of moment to me. You know, like the people in that league, and you know, so it was just like that story is emblematic of a number of stories that I've experienced, where you sort of find more and more people playing fantasy sports, and you know, from all walks of life, like, you know, you know, mothers and kids and grandmas and, you know, rock stars and rappers and celebrities and politicians. And so it's just been sort of crazy to sort of see, you know, I find it now, it's more common, it's more unique to find somebody who doesn't play than someone who does.
Right. Full disclosure, I stopped playing 3 years ago, and it was the best decision I've ever made in my life. But
why is that?
I'll tell you why. Because I am someone who likes to place a wager on Sundays.
Okay.
On Nevada, and you end up rooting for too many things. I can't, you know, bet the Bears to cover against the Redskins, but then I have Case Keenum on my team. It's just too much. So it was, and you know, I'm in Survivor pools, and I'm in,
sure,
you know, Pick'em pools. So something had to go. And also, I think for me personally, the older I get, you know, the more family responsibilities you have, and, you know, real life sort of unfortunately takes over. And I was like, you know, getting beat out for a kicker at 3 a.m. because one of my coworkers would be online picking up, you know, whoever is filling in for whoever got hurt. And I just said, you know, it's time for me to step out of. I think I started in seventh grade, you know, used to do it with pen and paper. And
right,
which was really fun back then. I must say, I used to get the USA Today on Mondays and do the scoring. But something had to go, and I made. And here's the thing I've always said about fantasy for me personally. I know you don't feel this way, but I used to love the draft. The draft used to be up there with basically, you know, Christmas and the first day of the NFL season is my favorite days of the year. And then I realized after a while that I'm not really great at fantasy, and I'm miserable from the minute the draft ends till the end of the season. So that's just me personally.
Fair. The one thing I would add, here's my one question, and so I would argue that you sort of still are in fantasy. You know, I mean, like, I think gambling is a different thing than fantasy, but ultimately, you know, what at its core it has, what fantasy has that gambling and survivor pools and everything have, is it gives you a rooting interest in games you might not otherwise care about. And so the fact that you still do, like, survivor pools and stuff like that, my question would be, Jimmy, were you in, like, did you have, like, long-term leagues? Because that's the thing that I find is that the people that have been in it for a while and quit, and I certainly understand not wanting to have divided loyalties and that whole thing, just didn't have a great league in the sense that, like, you know, because, like, I'm in a league with all the guys I went to college with.
Right.
You know, that, you know, it was 20-some-odd years ago, and, like, we keep in touch through that. And so, and I, you know, I have leagues from other places where I've worked before I came to ESPN, and, you know, I do a league with, like, my kids and their friends, and it's, you know, so, having a strong league is important to enjoying fantasy football.
And there's no doubt about it. And I miss doing the draft. It's other than that where, and that was the other problem too. And I think, first of all, I'm with you. Just to be clear, I am in a very, very small minority. I think the overwhelming vast majority of people play fantasy football. But I used to do fantasy baseball. Fantasy baseball is an absolute beast. That is daily in and out. I mean, you have to really be on top of your stuff for baseball.
Yeah.
Football is a little bit better. Yeah. But then, you know, I was in a work league. I'm in a friends league. Now I'm rooting for like eight different things that are going against each other. So I would like chop down the leagues, and then I was down to one league, which was better. And then I got out of it completely. But,
we'll get you back one of these years.
Maybe.
I feel like we'll get you back. You're just taking a hiatus. I don't think you quit. You're just taking a hiatus.
I also have a grudge now against fantasy because, you know, as someone who does a podcast, you know this. When you go onto that iTunes, you know, top 100, which is shady to begin with, like the top 20 podcasts are, you know, pardon my take, Bill Simmons, and then 18 fantasy podcasts. So it's amazing. It's just amazing what that industry has become, even with podcasts.
Yeah, it's very true. But yes, I agree with you. The Apple's iTunes chart is definitely a little shady. There's there's tricks for beating the system that some podcasts employ, and you know, and it's not based on total numbers. It's based on in terms of like a surge, which is why you'll see like a new podcast that all of a sudden debut at number 3, and whereas a podcast that's, you know, is super popular might be at 5 or something like that. It's like, you know, it's like it's a increase in subscriptions, and like it's just a weird formula that isn't what you think it would be, which is like how many people listen to this thing.
Right. I just want to be clear, though.
I'm with you.
I just want to be clear, though. Despite that, I'm not questioning the popularity of the fantasy podcast. I'm actually in awe of it. I think it's it's pretty impressive that there are so many, and there are so many popular ones out there.
We've certainly had tremendous success with the one here at ESPN. You know, it's amazing. You know, we do shows that get sold out like in an hour, and it's I'm always, I don't want to say I'm amazed by the popularity, but I'm always very grateful for how many people enjoy what Field and Stefania and I do.
I have a quick question about covering fantasy, and we also have to talk about your Agbo Superhero League that you're doing for charity, which is a great thing. But since you did mention Jay-Z, it was funny when I was prepping for the interview, I saw, and it must be pretty wild to you that on your Wikipedia page, it says Berry is also a friend of many stars, including Jay-Z, Seth Meyers, and Zooey Deschanel.
It's been unbelievable, and the amount of, like, I don't say this bragging, like, this is entirely about the power of both fantasy football and ESPN.
Right.
So I don't say this in any sort of bragging way, it's just, I'm the guy currently wearing the suit. But if you saw my Rolodex, or you saw the contacts in my phone, like, you'd be, it's insane, and the amount of people and the wide variety of people I have managed to meet and interact with entirely because of fantasy football and the people's enjoyment of that is sort of insane. And that sentence, the Agbo Superhero League, which we'll talk about, like it's mind blowing and it's nuts. Like the whole thing is bananas.
Yeah.
Like I fully acknowledge that. Like I've been on Seth's show. I've been on Late Night with Seth Meyers, and like, I mean, it's just, that's, you know, to think that I would ever do that, to think I'd even be on ESPN, was, it's all dream come true, pinch me, you know, can't believe it kind of stuff.
Do you have Jay-Z's number in your phone?
I do.
Do you ever text?
We do, yeah.
Does he text you on Sunday mornings?
He has sometimes, yeah. You know, I mean, like, Jay's a really good fantasy football player. Not surprisingly, given his level of success. Like, he's amazing with detail. He, you know, sees things from, a 360-degree angle. Like, he's really, really sharp. But every once in a while, he'll text me, like, with a trade offer that he's gotten or something like that. Just say, like, you know, am I missing anything? Like, have you heard anything off the record that may not be out there? And so, but he's a really good fantasy player. So, yeah, I've gone to that draft for 8 years now. So, I mean, it's a great group of guys, and they're always gracious enough to invite me. And I, despite the fact I'm not even actually in the league, I enjoy the hell out of it. It's always a fun evening.
This is a weird question, but I think you're probably a guy who could give me a good answer on it. Obviously, if you're texting with Jay-Z, that's extremely cool, and he's asking you for your fantasy football advice. But I've always said, especially when my good buddy Andy Gray used to work here, we would always say that, because he would run the SI Vault Twitter account, so he had some pretty A-list followers. I have a couple of pretty good followers myself, not to brag, like you said, but we've always said, Andy and I always said, that getting a tweet, a response from like a C-list celebrity who we have some weird affection for, like, I think one time, like, Sean William Scott from American Pie, like, responded to me, or Jason Biggs, and, you know, is there, like, a C-list, like, offbeat celebrity that comes to you for fantasy advice that could, that you enjoy almost as much as the A-lister?
That is a great question, and I'm trying to think. Who is, I mean, like, so this is not going to be the answer, you would say, well, here's one that I'll give you that, a bunch of the Stern guys, right? I mean,
right.
So, I've been a massive Howard fan for, almost 30 years. And so, so that was cool when I found out that, like, John Hine and Jason Kaplan and Gary Dalabate were all following me,
right?
And were reading me without me having ever met them. So that was like, that was really cool. That was kind of a very cool moment. I don't know that he's a C-list, so I wouldn't call him C-list.
Well, you go B plus.
Joe Russo, who is, who along with his brother Anthony directed Captain America, The Winter Soldier, Captain America, Civil War, and Avengers Infinity War, and Avengers Endgame. When I found out he was a fan of mine, like, that was sort of mind-blowing, because
right.
I'm a massive fan of, like, the MCU and, especially those movies, specifically Winter Soldier is, like, literally one of my favorite movies of all time. And so, so that was really cool. This is going to sound like really random and weird because he's not a celebrity exactly, but I am a huge Jimmy Buffett fan.
Right.
I'm a parrot head. And I discovered about 12 or 13 years ago that Jimmy's longtime tour manager of like 20 years plays in a fantasy league, is a big fan. And so that was like, that was very cool. And so I've been able to meet Jimmy through him a few times.
That's
and
a
like
good
that's.
One.
That's been, like super cool as
that's
well.
That's a good one.
But I'm still, Jimmy, I'll tell you who I am waiting for. I'm waiting for one of the cast members of Beverly Hills 90210 to be a fantasy player.
Well,
that's one that would be like a C-level guy
yeah.
or person, if you want, that I would be super excited about, but hasn't happened yet.
Yeah, that, so you know, it's funny you mentioned that because when I was talking about Andy Gray, my former colleague here, I think we got on this whole topic one day because he got a reply on Twitter from Ian Ziering. And that was really what spurred the discussion. So I'm with you on that for sure. What did you think of the reboot?
I actually loved it.
Me too.
I loved it. And
me
I know
too.
There's some controversy about it. And I know it's like, I guess it's on the bubble. I thought it was, Jimmy, I thought it was fantastic.
I agree.
I thought it was really clever. And I thought it was like a fun way to do that reboot where they're playing themselves. They're not really playing themselves, but they are. And like, cause you like those people and all of them have enough self-awareness to realize that people sort of, you see Jason Priestley and you don't think, oh, there's Jason Priestley who's been in this, this, and this. And you're like, there's Brandon Walsh. Right. I mean, like they're all so iconic and so tied to those specific characters. So I enjoyed the hell out of it. I thought it was really sort of clever and well done, and really, really enjoyed it, and desperately hope it comes back.
I agree.
What do you think?
I'm with you. I get why people have that nostalgia where they're very angry that it isn't the same show that it was, but it's just, that's not how this world works anymore in television, and they're not going to do the same show they did in 1990. So I thought it was really well done and funny, and I enjoyed all of it. I get it. It was jarring that first episode, and you're like, what in the hell is going on right now? But I watched every episode, enjoyed every episode. To me, that's how I judge it. Am I there are shows where I watch it and I stop watching it because I don't enjoy it. This, I enjoyed every episode. So,
I
can't compare it to what it was.
If they did it, they did it the old show, which was like the very first scene of the first episode, where they walk in and there's Brandon behind the counter at the Peach Pit, and Kelly's a waitress, and like there's Donna and David over there, and you're just like, oh God, like they haven't moved on. But see, I would argue they are doing the same show, just they've updated it for modern times, because you still have, there's still something between Donna and David, and there's still something between Brandon and Kelly, and like Steve still, having all his, romantic mishaps. And they have very cleverly basically taken the same structure of the old show and the same sort of plot lines and tone. That was the other thing that I thought was incredibly well done, is that it's very much the same tone of the old show, right? There's some drama and there's some relationship stuff, and then there's some, for lack of a better phrase, wacky hijinks, like the thing with the red dress, or some kind of like big scenes that are a little over the top but sort of charmingly fun. And I thought they actually are doing the same show. They've just disguised it really well and in a very clever way, I think.
Right. And if you say to me what was the best TV moment for me in 2019, it was seeing Ray Pruitt and hearing him sing How Do You Talk to an Angel on TV again. But
How Do You Talk to an Angel?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Great song.
I mean, like, unbelievable.
Before we wrap and we get to the Superhero League, I just two quick questions on back to fantasy. Sir. Give me, what is the most difficult thing about covering fantasy for a living?
The most difficult thing is by far what we have to do, which is I have to predict the outcome of 250 players every week. So, like, if you watch Fantasy Football Now and you watch any other NFL pregame show, we will talk about probably 4 to 5 times more players than anyone else, right? Like no other show is talking about Will Disley, but we are, right? Because you may need a tight end streamer. Right, no one else is talking about whether or not Vance McDonald's coming back from a shoulder injury, or whether or not Raheem Mostert is viable, but we are, right? And so you have to cover a massive amount of players, and then you also have to predict their performance, right? So I rank about 250 players, over all the positions and defenses and kickers. I rank about 250 players every week,
right?
And you're obviously going to get stuff wrong, right? I mean, in terms of trying to predict the future, possible to predict the future, and then when you do it at that kind of volume, it's also impossible to get it all right. And so, I could literally make 100 predictions and get 99 of them right, and you get one wrong, and that'll be the one that everyone on Twitter, or on Reddit or wherever, that will just, sort of go off. And so that's candidly the biggest challenge of fantasy football, of trying to trying to predict it, especially when you have sort of the nature of I'm trying to think of a good example, and I can't come up with them right now, but you'll predict a guy to have a good game, right? And then Todd Gurley, like I had Todd Gurley on my love list this past week against the Browns, right? And so and how I do the love-hate list is I basically take the ESPN projections and I basically say whether I'm going to go over or under that projections. So, which allows me to sort of talk about bigger name players as well. But so Todd Gurley was on the love list, and I think he finished right about even with his projection. But, like, he got the ball and he fell short of the 2-yard line. And then on second down, Sean McVay, for some reason, decides to let Jared Goff try to take it over the top, which didn't. He gets stopped. And then on the third play, they throw it to Cooper Kupp. But, like, if they give it to Todd Gurley on second down and he scores, I'm a genius, right? But because he fell 1 yard short on first down, I'm not, right? I got that one wrong, or, you know, not as right as I could have.
Right.
Like, you know, there'll be times where you predict something and then guy will get into the end zone just like you thought, and there's a flag. There's holding on the other side, like some wide receiver wasn't involved in the play, does something dumb. And so that's the biggest challenge, candidly.
Gotcha.
And then basically, trying to predict the future and doing it in a very public forum.
Right. And then dealing with the the maniacs on Twitter. I know you want to plug a fantasy league that you're doing with a lot of celebrities here for charity, which is a great thing. And we talked about sort of the A-listers. I mean, this league is loaded. Robert Downey Jr., Chris Evans, Chris Pratt, Ryan Reynolds, to name a few, and there's plenty more. Give us the lowdown on this Agbo Superhero Fantasy League.
I will. Though I know you said you had two questions for me. I wanted to.
Well, I decided to skip the other question. It wasn't that good.
Okay. All right. Well, don't worry about time if that's the concern. I'm happy to.
We're good.
All right. So this Agbo Superhero League. So Agbo is the studio that is run by Joe and Anthony Russo, who we talked about earlier in the show. They, directors of Avengers Endgame and Avengers Infinity War. And so Joe and I are friends, and we've played in a fantasy league together. And there's actually a fantasy football league that exists on the set of Avengers that with, you know, a lot of the actors, and Joe plays in it as well. And Chris Evans and his producing partner run it together, run that league. And so Joe had an idea about doing a superhero league. You know, superheroes are actually a big theme in Joe's life, as you can imagine, having done four of the biggest superhero movies of all time, including the biggest one. And so Joe called me up and said, I have an idea. He and a guy named Guillermo Lozano, who works with Chris Evans, they had an idea to do a superhero league, to do a celebrity fantasy football league. There's a lot of them. So how could you make it different? How could you do a twist? So there's two twists to it. Number one is that to be in the league, you have to have appeared in a superhero movie. So again, you know, Joe, with the theme that he has in terms of his life, superheroes means a great deal to him. You know, superheroes and, you know, trying to do in real life what they do in the movies, making the world a better place, you know, fighting for those who can't, helping others. Right, so you have to have been in a superhero movie to be in this league. And then the other piece of it is that Joe and his studio, Agbo, was putting up $100,000 for charity. And so that all of us in the league were going to play for charity. And so I thought this was a really cool idea. We're going to try to do it like a 10-team league. And in fact, we got so many people that wanted to be in the league, it's a 14-team fantasy football league. Again,
that's a lot.
With nothing but actors or people that have been in superhero movies. So it's unbelievable, and it's playing out on ESPN.com. And it's a public league. If you want to check it out, you can search. If you just search Agbo Superhero League or Matthew Berry, you'll see that I wrote a column about it, and there's a link in the column so you can check out that league. But to your point, here's who's in the league. Chris Pratt, Star-Lord from Guardians of the Galaxy and all the movies. You know, for those of your listeners who don't know exactly, aren't big superhero guys.
That would be me.
Chris Hemsworth, who plays Thor, Ryan Reynolds, Deadpool, Miles Teller, who was Mr. Fantastic in the Fantastic Four, not necessarily known for superhero movies, but he qualifies. Paul Rudd, Ant-Man, Robert Downey Jr., Iron Man himself, Anthony Mackie, Falcon, and he may be Captain America, the new Captain America. We'll see how that plays out. Chris Evans, who is Captain America, Karen Gillan, who is Nebula. Michael B. Jordan played Killmonger in Black Panther, Elizabeth Olsen, Scarlet Witch, and Tom Holland, who is Spider-Man. And then rounding it out is Joe Russo, who not only directed all those movies, but had a cameo in Avengers Endgame, and myself, who also had a cameo in Avengers Endgame. So that's why Joe made it that you have to appear in a superhero movie, not actually have been a superhero, which allows Joe and I to sort of sneak in under the wire there and get to play in this league.
And the best part...
The 14 of us are all playing for charities, and $100,000 is up for grabs, and it's pretty cool. The coolest part of it is that the celebrities have really gotten into it, and they've started just doing a bunch of trash talk. If you watch Fantasy Football Now or the Fantasy Show on ESPN+, or even follow me on social at Matthew Berry TMR on all forms of social media, you've seen I've posted like Chris Pratt and Chris Evans have gone at each other. We've gotten Ryan Reynolds has put stuff out. Karen Gillan's put stuff out. Paul Rudd just like had a very funny video about Tom Holland last week. So it's been really fun, and we're doing. There'll be like trash talk videos every single week around the league.
And the best part is it's all for charity, and it's a good job by all these guys doing that for charity. So now you'll have more A-list friends to have in your phone along with Jay-Z.
It is pretty funny when you're sitting there and you're like you're sitting there haggling over like Chris Carson with Pratt.
Right,
you know what I mean? You're
right.
like you know, you're just there is a moment where you're just like, I can't believe I'm sitting here arguing over a second string running you know an RB2 with Star-Lord.
Yeah.
Like, you know what I mean? Like, it's the trade talk is pretty funny in this league. Yeah.
Well, I appreciate you coming on, and, you know, you do a podcast here for a half hour, and there could be, like, 8 transactions that you miss, so I'm sure you got to, like, you know, run and check the waiver wire, which those are the things I don't miss. You go somewhere for a half hour, and, you know, you miss out on who you have to pick up, and no one needs to stay on top of it more than you, so you better get going.
I appreciate it, Jimmy. Thanks for the time.
Thanks for coming on, Matthew. Appreciate it. Take care. All right, that wraps up this edition of the SI Media Podcast. My thanks to Matthew Berry and John Oran for coming on. Hope you guys enjoyed it. Once again, if you're not a subscriber, hit that subscribe button. Also, check out past podcasts in the archives. Troy Aikman was on the show last week. 2 weeks ago, Ryan Russillo. 3 weeks ago, Rich Eisen and Chris Mad Dog Russo. All great, great shows. So if you missed any, download them, listen, rate, and review. Appreciate it. And I'll talk to you next week right here on the SI Media Podcast. Take care.